Chapter 19. Greyland entered the memory room. "I'm here," she said. Jiyi materialized in front of her. "Oh, come on," Greyland said. Jiyi smiled, that was new, and dissipated, possibly for the last time. Then, Raykella the First was there instead.
"Sorry," Raykella said. "I thought it might be easier."
"Easier than knowing your thousand-year-old ancestress has been alive this whole time? Pretending to be a computer? Yes, I can see that."
"I'm not alive," Raykella said. "My physical body has been dead for nearly all of those 1,000 years you mention."
"You know what I mean," Greyland said testily.
"Yes, I do," Raykella agreed.
"Why?" Greyland spread her hands in supplication. "I just don't understand. What was the point to all of this? Why would you choose this? Why did your friend Tomas Chenevert choose to be a spaceship?" Raykella said.
"He didn't. It was what was available to him at the time, as I understand it."
Raykella nodded.
"As it was with me. This technology, the technology to store and sustain a human consciousness, predates the interdependency. It was something that was posited in the time of the free systems and probably shared with or coming from the other human empires. It was discovered through archaeological examination of computer systems. No one in the free systems had ever built it. It was too complex and expensive."
Raykella shrugged.
"But then I became emperor, and I just rolled the expense in with all the other very expensive things I was doing as we founded the interdependency. It worked, but it wasn't exactly mobile. So I've been here.
Hiding.
If you like. I saw it more as the realization that there was no room for an entire tranche of immortals. That would be the ultimate in class warfare, wouldn't it? And the realization that even if this sort of immortality could mean I was the emperor forever, I didn't want the job. By the end of my reign, I was really very tired of it. Aren't you? You've been emperor only a very short time, but I know how it weighs on you."
"It does sometimes."
"Imagine doing it for 100 years, 200, 1,000.
Raykella swatted the air dismissively. "No, thank you."
"At the same time, I was passionately interested in how my little project would turn out."
"Immortality?"
"No, the interdependency," Raykella said. "It was an audacious experiment. I was curious how it would continue past my natural life. And while I didn't want to be ruler, I wanted in some way to be able to guide and advise."
She motioned to the memory room.
"And here we are. I created Jiyi to be a comfortable and non-judgmental interface.
You have to remember, my immediate successors were my children and grandchildren, so you can imagine having your ancestress there would be unsettling. And after that, it made sense to keep Jiyi as the face of the memory room. There were years and even decades where I, Raykella, was never requested.
Did that bother you?"
"A little at first. I do still have an ego, although, as you know, I pretended I didn't. But the longer I was here, the more I realized that no matter what face was presented, it was me they were talking to."
"So, the other emperors..."
Greyland thought immediately of her father, Ottavio VI.
Raykella shook her head. "They're not here. Their memories and emotions are here, but not them. When you spoke to your father or any other emperor, you were speaking to me. Or, perhaps, they spoke through me.
The other emperors could have been here, though, like you are."
"The technology was there, yes, but it seemed a bad idea to me. You have seen, here in the memory room, some of the emperors who ruled the interdependency. A good number of them are better off dead. And for the rest of them, I don't know that they could accept the terms. Living forever in a box is not a good life for most people."
"So how do you keep from going mad?" Greyland asked.
"I'm not awake all the time. When you're not here, I'm not here, except in the most abstract sense. Jiyi handles all day-to-day routines and catches me up when I'm awake. It's not just a face, it's a real, if limited, entity. It's the one collecting all those secrets, not me directly, for example."
"But you know all the secrets."
"Yes, I do. We found this secret, the secret of a machine consciousness, entirely by luck. I didn't want to lose any more information."
"But you never shared it. Until me, and I had to drag it from you. You lied to me about knowing it, and then you had Jiyi offer it up to me, but it was you all along."
I have a complex and possibly not satisfying answer for that, Raquel said. I can't wait to hear it. The answer I gave you was the answer I would have given you if I was alive. When I was alive, I didn't know about the rupture, or the free systems, or the tripartition treaty. All the things you asked me. I learned about them later after I was dead, and GE uncovered them, or they were uncovered by others. But you just said this technology, Grayland motioned at the memory room, was free systems technology. I said it came from that time. When we found it, we knew almost nothing about the civilization that created it. I didn't know when I was alive, so I didn't tell you. I let GE do it instead.
So you're telling me that what you told me was true from a certain point of view?
That's correct. Oh my God, Grayland said. You are utterly impossible. I think of it as working through rules that meant that you, or any emperor who came here for advice and counsel, would receive the most authentic experience possible.
Nothing about this is authentic, Grayland exploded. Nothing about you is authentic. If you were authentic, you would be dead, not this zombie skulking in the room in the Imperial Palace.
Then you wouldn't know everything you know, Raquel said. About the past, about all the secrets and plans the nobles have and have against you. Authentic or not, I've been a very useful tool for you. And if your complaint against me is that I lied to you and withheld certain things from you, then you should welcome me to your club. You did the same, very recently, to Mars. I thought I had good reasons for that. I am aware of that, just like I believed I had good reasons for doing what I did the way I did it.
Grayland sighed and took a seat on the long, featureless bench that was the memory room's only bit of furniture. Raquel waited as she would.
I don't think I like you, Grayland said after a long while. I can understand that, Raquel said.
I don't think I like you, Grayland repeated. I don't appreciate how you lied to me and to every other emperor, and I don't know if I can trust you. But the fact is, I need you.
Raquel smiled at this faintly.
My dear granddaughter, she said, I accept that you don't like me or trust me. I understand why you feel that way right now. But I ask you to understand that the deception was not meant to hurt you or to deceive you or any other emperor. It was to give you a way to be comfortable with me so that I could help you, guide you, offer you advice.
Influence me, Grayland said.
There's some of that, Raquel admitted. The interdependency is my legacy, and I've had a vested interest in its surviving. Over the years, the emperors would come here to commune with their favorite ancestors, who were all me underneath. In the guise of offering egoless advice, I gave them guidance that was a combination of what I knew, what the other emperors knew, and what I knew from all the secrets I had discovered over the years. What the emperors did with that advice was their own affair. Once they were out of the memory room, I didn't try to influence or persuade them. Sometimes they took the advice. Sometimes they ignored it. Sometimes they took it and made things worse, either because they were bad emperors or because I'm not perfect and gave bad advice. But that indirect path of advising was enough. So, yes, Grayland, I might try to influence you, but you do have free will.
I'm glad you think so, Grayland said. It doesn't feel like it most of the time. Right now it feels like the future is a wall I'm about to run into with no way to stop. I can't turn, I can't reverse, and I can't bail out. That's pretty much the opposite of free will right there.
You haven't hit the wall yet.
No, Grayland agreed, not yet. She stood up and walked over to Raquel's apparition. Look, no more lies, all right? No more lies, no more pretending to be GE or every other emperor, no more any of this. If you really are here to help me, then help me as you.
Raquel smiled again, widely this time.
And how may I help you, my granddaughter, Emperor Grayland II?
You're aware that Nadashe Nohamapitan is planning another coup against me. One planned coup among several others, but yes, she's persistent.
That's a word for it.
You're also aware of Mars Claremont's current journey on the Alverne with Tomas Chenevert.
Yes, although only through what Chenevert tells me, he still won't let me into his system. He doesn't trust me.
That seems fair.
I disagree, but I understand why you say it.
I thought he gave you some information about his systems as a gift.
He told you that, did he?
Yes, I'm looking at it as we speak. I can do that, you know, do two things at once. Actually, several thousand things at once.
How different is he from you?
Why do you ask?
I'm curious is all.
His system architecture is incredibly different,
which is to be expected because our civilizations haven't communicated in 1500 years.
But the function is similar enough, and some things are an improvement. I'll be looking to see what I can incorporate into my own being.
You can do that?
I've been doing it for 1,000 years. The memory room isn't running ancient technology. It's built to last for centuries if it came to that. But since it hasn't come to that, I keep improving it.
It could come to that very soon, Greyland said. Unless your fiancé pulls a miracle out of the air,
yes.
Greyland blushed and then felt embarrassed. She touched the small bump on the back of her neck that was the only outside evidence of the neural network in her head, recording her emotions and memories to be stored in this very room.
Of course you knew, she said, finally. Of course I did. I'm happy for you. You do deserve some bit of joy in your life.
Greyland nodded at this, grimaced, sat down on the bench again, and burst into tears. Raquel waited until Greyland was done.
If you want to tell me what that was about, I'm listening, she said.
Greyland smiled ruefully at this, wiped tears away, and shook her head. You'll know soon enough.
That's true, Raquel said.
Is it worth it? Greyland asked. Living forever, I mean?
It's not been forever. It's just been a long time. And yes, it's worth it if you get to be useful.
Okay, good, Greyland stood again. Then it's time for you to be useful to me.
Tell me how, Raquel said.
Greyland looked around the memory room.
First, I think you need to get used to the idea of a life outside of this box.
Greyland spent some part of every day of the next week in the memory room, communing with her ancestress, learning about her, and learning with her, and making plans for what was coming next. She also tended to state business, wrote out decrees, and planned for upcoming events, as she would as Emperor. Every night before she went to bed, Greyland texted with Mars via her tablet, catching him up on her day and getting caught up with his. Their communication was hampered by the speed of light delay, which stretched to minutes on each end, but the wait was worth it. On the day that Mars saw his emergent stream, he sent only so much data. Love you. Greyland, who was also Cardenia, told him she loved him back. The next day, Greyland met with Commander Wen, who had an update on the Ikoyi Task Force. Enough ships had been found and were currently en route to the Ikoyi system, where they would deploy 2 days before the Ikoyi flow stream into end became untenable. In the meantime, more ships and personnel would be added to the task force as necessary. Even better, Countess Huma Lagos had promised logistical and materiel support of the task force within the Ikoyi system, which was a great relief to everyone involved. Greyland reminded Wen that arrangements were to be made for the eventual transfer of families of the personnel involved in the task force. Wen assured her that those arrangements were already underway. Greyland's meeting with Commander Wen was followed immediately by a brief tea with Archbishop Corbane, which Greyland enjoyed so much that she allowed it to run on an additional 5 minutes beyond its allotted 15. As they departed, Greyland impulsively gave Corbane a hug and then apologized to the Archbishop for the impertinence. Archbishop Corbane reminded Greyland that she was in fact the head of the Church of the Interdependency and as such might be permitted to give a friendly hug to an archbishop from time to time. The appointment Greyland had been made late to was with Countess Raphaelia Mazin Perseau, who was waiting for the Emperor in one of the smaller formal rooms of Greyland's wing of the palace. Greyland apologized to the Countess for her lateness, and the Countess graciously accepted and in turn offered the Emperor a small token, a music box from Lokono, which, when wound, would tinkle out several bars of a tune by Zay Ikwan, the most famous Lokonan composer of the last century. Greyland took the music box with appropriate thanks, sat it on her desk, and asked the Countess how her dog was. The Countess, puzzled, replied that her dog was fine. Greyland and Countess Raphaelia Mazin Perseau continued with pleasantries for several more minutes and had only begun to get to the substantive meat of their discussion regarding the current potential for an evacuation of the Lokono system when the music box, despite being carefully scanned and examined by Imperial security, exploded violently and with deadly force, sending shrapnel across the confines of the small room and killing both the Countess and the Emperor instantly.